Okay, we're here. No worries. Boy, this you have no idea the last moment things that happened in this business. Can't get people. There's, in this case, Eric's Skype didn't work. So we just got a phone number for him. We got, anyhow, it's always, often, not always, often, right on the edge. Hello, Professor Emeritus Eric Carlstrom.
Good evening, Jeff. Your voice sounds good. And, yeah, we pull through kind of at the last minute fairly regularly, and we get sabotaged fairly regularly now. But we don't quit, I guess. Here we are.
No, it's true. They've been playing games. There was a period of time, I had to be 4 or 5 weeks, when no email, no phones, nothing would work for me trying to contact Eric. He couldn't contact me apparently either. And it's the world we live in. It's, they own the tech, and AI will do anything that AI is asked, and AI is probably already doing things it isn't being asked. So, and we have, this is quite a scene, all of it.
Yeah, you know, our freedoms, our very way of life is really being very actively sabotaged now, and of course this has been progressive, incremental, as you know, over the decades, you know, it's just getting harder and harder to be a free range human.
it's true. It's getting worse, and it's going to only get worse. And the sad thing is, and I don't mean to harp on this subject, but reality, as most people, the consensus group, perceives it especially, it's their reality. They created it. They've made it. Most people, whenever they think about something, they'll relate to their mind, their mental database, their memories, their reflections, and they've all basically been implanted by exposure, directly or indirectly, it doesn't matter. It's their reality. That's the point.
Well, that's a perfect introduction, really, to the topic I was hoping to talk about tonight, which is really the merger of humans and machines, cybernetics, which has been the elite's plan and implemented by, of course, the military and the intelligence agencies and the politicians and the media, really since World War II. And we've been talking about this and talking about this. I don't know. Do you think we've made much of a dent in the public discourse? I mean, this is slightly dangerous territory. We know people like Jim Keith, who wrote
some
really excellent books about mind control. Mind control, world control is one of them. You know, these people tend to have abbreviated lives. And we're talking about something. I would say that this is the family jewels of the cryptocracy, the rule by secrecy, the CIA and their allies.
Right.
And I've been studying this more and more. We've been talking about it a lot. I've noticed a lot of the other talk shows kind of alternative media kind of shy away from this, and they dance around it. This is a dangerous subject because it is so hidden. It's hidden, and yet it's kind of like the One Ring to rule them all in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. You know, this is kind of the stated intention, even, you know, back in the cybernetics conferences, the Macy conferences back in the 1940s to 50s, right, was to put humans in a common communication system, which would be artificial, and that they would be able to therefore change our reality. And
that's,
this is people
exactly
like Dr.
Right.
Norbert Wiener, who was an MIT math genius, of the tribe, of course, and who wrote the book. He wrote several books that are very pivotal. One on the first real book on cybernetics, 1948, and then 1950 was The Human Use of Human Beings, Cybernetics and Society, which is obviously about our enslavement. And then the one I've dipped into a bit is called 1963, God and Gollum, Inc. Now, if anybody knows what a golem is, that's a very telling title, because a golem is a is a creature made by magicians, generally of the tribe, priests, Jewish mystics, practicing Kabbalah, basically making creatures that will help them take over the world. And this goes right back to John Dee. We've talked a little bit about John Dee, this British magician who really started off the Elizabethan era and the British Empire, the first Elizabeth. And he went over to Prague, Czechoslovakia, and hung out with Rabbi Lowe. And supposedly they made a golem, and he was trained by this Kabbalistic rabbi. And then he infused that black magic Kabbalah, although he called it Christian Kabbalah, into the whole British Empire strategy. So this is something that now we get into the secret societies and, you know, the Masons and the Rosicrucians and the things that are underpinning our political system, which, as it turns out, are flat-out evil. I mean, it's a satanic stuff. Yeah. And, you know...
And, the word to use for all this, anything secret is occult. The word occult doesn't mean evil necessarily. It means secret. Think about it like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, the secret societies, you know, what have they been doing? Well, and then when they built the bomb, you know, the nuclear bomb, and during World War II, I think the elite figured we got to figure out something else, or we're going to blow ourselves to smithereens. So they started in on these electronic invisible weapons, and that really has been the subtext, I think, as I do my research into the real axis of the Cold War. It seems almost that the Soviets and the Americans were cooperating in many ways. They were competing in some ways. The Soviets maintained their hegemony over their empire through, you know, the boot and totalitarian despotism. And we expanded, we being the United States, expanded its empire. We both had our spheres of influence, as all geopolitics and all, resource grabbing vision kind of stuff. And but what's going on in the background is experimenting with mind control through all manner of possibilities. You know, drugs, hypnosis. They could make a Manchurian candidate assassin who would have several subaltern personalities. And then they could be triggered back and forth between the personalities, which had amnesia barriers between them, by codes, cues, and triggers that only the hypnotist would know. And this was accomplished during World War II. And then after World War, and this is George Estabrooks, we've talked about that, actually approached the Department of Defense and said, hey, we can do this. This war, we got to do this. And so he was the 32nd degree Mason, to tie it in a little bit. And he really pushed for this new weapon system, which was really based on mind control and control of human beings and turning humans into robot slaves. And so this was accomplished even during World War II with hypnotism. 1957, Milton Klein, the hypnotist psychologist, said, I can make a patsy in 3 months. It takes 6 months to make an assassin. So, you know, when we look at Lee Harvey Oswald, when we look at Sirhan Sirhan, when we look at so many of these lone nut killers, it turns out they have been mind controlled. They are biorobot slaves.
Well, Sirhan
had no memory of shooting at Kennedy. Of course, the standard operating procedure for these state sponsored terror hits is that you have a patsy. You also have moles in the government that make it happen, and you also have the real professional killers who actually do the killing. So it's a formulaic thing right from the Kennedy assassination right up to the 9/11, et cetera. But, you know, state-sponsored terrorism is how they manipulate us.
Always. Let me just suggest that whenever we mention the name Lee Harvey Oswald, we should not in any way relate him to an assassin. He wasn't. He was a sucker. He was a patsy. He was a patsy, all right. He was set up. Now, Sirhan actually shot, apparently, but missed. He didn't kill Kennedy.
Yeah, exactly.
Same Caesar did from behind. So you got one legitimate shooter. Lee Harvey Oswald was trying to stop the assassination. He's actually a hero when you really get into this. And if you look at the interview of James E. Files, look it up, Files, F-I-L-E-S. It's in YouTube. Look at either one of his interviews from prison. He is a man who shot and killed JFK. And I believe that at this point. Jim Mars believed it. Jim Mars interviewed him for his second interview. And James E. Files was a mobster, a gangster, a hitman. And he said, Lee Harvey Oswald had nothing to do with it, nothing. And he explained the whole thing. So anyway, go ahead, please. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I've got a long way to go to try to reverse people on Lee Harvey Oswald. It's just wrong. The guy was not an assassin. He was not a trained assassin. He was totally set up. Go ahead.
Yeah, very much like Osama bin Laden. And you go down the line with these things are done by the cryptocracy, the rule by secrecy. Now, I have sent you a link to a recent post that I have on my... I've got five websites, just if your audience hasn't heard my
little name and guess.
Spiel. Toto 2 Inc. is what I call my five websites. I'm a retired geography professor who just kept researching because you get a certain momentum as a researcher, and I just started turning my attention towards the stubborn problems that had plagued me and many of us. And one of them that we've been talking about is gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com. Another one is 911nwo.com. Another one is naturalclimatechange.org. Another one is sanluisvalleywaterwatch.com. So I've kept busy, and these are like digital libraries that are for free. I don't charge. So far, I haven't needed to. But most recently, in 2012, I put a whole year into one long article called Mind Control, History and Applications, in which I reviewed about 50 books on the topic that were available. Uh-huh. What I didn't come across then, I came across Walter Boart's Operation Mind Control, which came out in 1978. It was one of the best ones. Then, more recently, I've come across his 1994 Operation Mind Control Researchers Edition, and I bought it, and it's about 800 pages, and it is a treasure trove of information.
Who put that out? Did Walter put that out?
Well, I think we've talked about this, he Xeroxed it. And he evidently could not find a publisher for it, so he made 500 Xerox copies.
That's
by that
right.
time, he had a Freedom of Thought Foundation. And
Kinko's Publishing,
really,
that's how we used to do it. Yeah, okay.
He really went down this rabbit hole about as well as anybody that I know, and this is the darkest rabbit hole I've seen. Because, of course, it leads us to, total control, cyborg status, biorobot slaves. And this has been the sub-theme of what our government or elements of our government have been doing since the 40s and 50s, as I, kind of indicated at the beginning. This is top secret stuff. And, of course, it could not have flourished in this country without the passage of the National Security Act in 1947, which basically says, hey, we're under martial law, you've got no rights anymore, we're in a state of national emergency, and we can do what we want, and we're going to classify all our secrets, and if there's something that we don't want made public, or like crimes we're doing, we'll just say it's national security, ma'am, and move along. And of course, all the judges are trained in that strategy. So, this book, 800 pages, I have been kind of going through it now. I think I'm on my third time through it, and I am putting a lot of it on my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com website, so it's maybe more accessible to people, as well as the PDF version of what Walter wrote in 1994. But specifically, I sent you a link to Timeline to the Beast System, Mind-Controlled, Hive Mind, Psycho-Civilized, Cyborg Slave Society with TIs, or Targeted Individuals, as guinea pigs. And it's a very, very long compilation, but it has the advantage of going through the dates of when things start happening, when the different inventions occur, when you start to see these targeted individuals in the 50s and 60s and 40s and 70s and 90s and 80s who are oftentimes mind-controlled, oftentimes abducted, military abductions, ritually abused in generational families of ritual abuse that go back over 100 years in Germany, they say. And so basically we took, the intelligence agencies took this Kabbalistic evil system of creating human robots, which had been perfected, I guess, over the centuries, and the intelligence agencies got their hands on it when the Nazis were imported into this country with Operation Paperclip right after World War II. And a lot of these top scientists went right into, of course, rockets and mind control, like Mengele. And then the CIA got it very involved with their MK Ultra and Bluebird and Artichoke and MK Search and MK Delta, just a host of these. It was a Manhattan Project for the mind back in the 50s and the 40s and the 60s. And they did keep this mostly secret, but they had top psychiatrists and psychologists and neuroscientists at all the top universities working on this. And so the CIA had merged by then, not only with the mafia and the Nazis, actually taking on the Galen organization into the CIA in their first year, merging with the mafia in their first year of 1947, to the Italian mafia, to throw the elections in Greece and Italy. So they got right going, and they started right in on the mind control. In 1947, of course, they came out of the OSS, Office of Strategic Services, which was the World War II spy branch that was trained by MI6. So you have all the major empire inputs into the CIA. Then you have the National Security Act giving them above-the-law status and an unlimited budget, which they then have maintained through their black operations and their sales of drugs, illicit arms, and human trafficking. I mean, the world is not as we are told. I mean, there's a very, very different world that comes to view if we start to study these things. And of course, I'm not making these things up. These are published in many, many books. But to go back to the timeline here, what we see with these timelines is certain inventions, you know, like with Delgado and the Stemoceiver. Well, you know, then that was in the 50s and 60s, he was putting implants into monkeys. They were also putting implants into people. And this was, of course, secret. But now in this great book by Bowart, we have testimony from some of these mind-controlled slaves, like Glenn E. Nichols. He gives the testimony of Glenn E. Nichols, who says, "Hey, I'm a slave, and I've been mind-controlled since birth." So evidently, there were a lot of American children taken over in these experiments, the MK Ultra, the Artichoke, the Bluebird, etc. A lot of children, and of course, they were fragmented into multiple personalities via tortures, trauma-based mind control, often rape. And it turns out, according to Bowart and his you know, extensive research, talking with psychiatrists, etc., that a great many of the children were coming from the families of top military and CIA people. They're giving over their kids.
That's a hard one for a lot of people to process. You say, well, why would they use their children, the top people, why would they allow their children to be messed up mentally like that? But they did, for whatever
they
reason.
They did. You know, and even Jim Morrison, again, is the classic example. His father was the admiral in the Gulf of Tonkin incident in Vietnam War, which, of course, never really happened. But he was an admiral in the Navy, and Jim goes on to be a rock star in the 60s. Well, Jim was probably an MK Ultra or Bluebird or Artichoke, one of these multiple personality people. He could do just about anything. You know, now you're going to be a rock star. Now you're going to be something else, you know.
When the doors are open for you, it's not hard to accomplish.
That's a good joke there, Jeff. When the doors are open for you, yeah, of course, he was the lead singer in the Doors. But Yeah, this book has now kind of given me the stimulus, the impetus to put together this timeline, which I hope people will take a look at. I have,
By the way, Eric, one second, hold your thought, please.
Yeah.
I've always wondered about that, if the name of that group, The Doors, had anything to do with his mental mind reconfiguration. Doors.
Well, there was a guy named William James who was all into, he was a philosopher, I guess. He was an author who wrote The Doors of Perception. And so the people who were into the drug culture in the 60s and even before that would be familiar with William James and his Doors of Perception. So that's where it comes from. It comes from William James's book.
I always wondered if he might have personalized it a bit more, but he may not even have known that he was mind controlled. People don't know.
Well, that's the thing. People don't know because they have the system perfected where the amnesia barriers between the subaltern personalities are kind of, you know, really, really solid, except maybe 30 years later or 40 years later, especially about 70% of these victims or survivors are women. And when a woman then goes through like a lot of pain, like say for childbirth or something like that, sometimes these amnesia barriers start to break down. Or when people who know something's wrong, like Glennie Nichols, go to therapy for years and years and years and themselves get hypnotized and call up these memories, then things start shaking loose. And now that's happened with a great many of these victims now, you know, people like Kathy O'Brien and Bryce Taylor and many others. So the psychiatric community, those who are, you know, really good psychiatrists and want to help their clients, they're trying to piece together these fragmented personalities, these wrecked lives, and they've done yeoman's work, but it's very, very difficult. And so somebody like Mark Phillips, who was the handler. You have to get into this world of the intelligence agencies with assets and handlers and whatnot. So Kathy O'Brien as the sex slave would have been the asset, and he would have later been the handler. Senator Byrd and Bob Hope were among her handlers, and she was one of the presidential models, apparently, who was widely trafficked to presidents and congressmen, etc. And of course, it's the same formula as with Epstein and MI6. I mean, you get these top important politicians in compromising scenes. Take lots of pictures, and then you tell them to vote the way you want them to vote. And so this has been going on a lot longer than Jeffrey Epstein. So we can trace this back. Going back to Glennie Nichols, according to his recovered memories, he's born in 1947, says he's a mind-controlled slave. At age 12, he was a targeted individual at birth. He was informed he had a hearing problem and was implanted with a temporary radio receiver and told it was a hearing aid. Okay, 3 years later, he's 15, 1962. He was secretly, surreptitiously implanted with miniaturized radio receiver placed in his ear canal. This produced very low volume subliminal messages to control him. Nichols' realizations of these devices in his ears were always erased with torture, drugs, and electricity. These people go through hell, and it's our government or elements thereof that have put them through hell. At about 20 years, now we're up to 1967, I just graduated from high school, by the way, just to personalize this a little bit, Nichols was surgically implanted with a miniature radio receiver and transmitter behind the right ear canal. Well, this is the year that Delgado, he's publishing articles about how this is the Stemoceiver works. So he was implanted with a miniature radio receiver and transmitter, that's a transceiver, behind the right ear canal next to the eardrum. He was told that he hurt his ear playing football, and over the next 20 years, 67 to 87, the transceiver was replaced a couple times. And then about 23 years of age, in 1970, he had an EEG, or electroencephalogram transmitter, implanted in his brain. 1970, wow. These dates are very important, because this is when the technology is advancing. And he was informed that they use biomedical telemetry, which they now use, of course, with, telehealth, you know, that sort of thing. Biomedical telemetry and computers to read the EEG. This was accomplished at brain-computer interface, 1970.
Constant. Wow. All right, that's 55 years ago.
Yes, 55 years ago. And, of course, let me keep going here. At age 33, 1980, an electrode was inserted into his nostril. And at age 42, 1989, Nichols began to realize he had massive memory loss and was the victim of mind control. So it held for all those years. He was a victim of not only mind control, but torture and slavery. And he recalled thousands of conditioning sessions and abuses. He stated, "They read every thought, make continual bizarre, distracting comments, give constant subliminal commands, and use high-pitched sounds against me every moment. They use a combination of extremely demented, vulgar, heinous, and satanic ranting." And this is the voice to skull. We're talking about synthetic telepathy, microwave hearing, that targeted individuals all over the world have complained about for years and not gotten any help.
Almost every story about V2K is steeped in satanic, dark evil. It's not, you'd think they might have been able to use another paradigm of thought or concept to work their ugly magic, but they always choose evil because that's what they are. They're evil.
You got it. So he says they use a combination of extremely demented, vulgar, heinous, and satanic ranting, then alternate this with informing me of the details of thousands of days of experience for which I have had complete amnesia. They have been controlling and torturing me for my entire life. The perpetrators increased their subliminal broadcast to a conscious level and have been using the speakers and EEG transmitter to torture me continuously since June 1991. And then he said, they tell me, of course, this is voice to skull, so you're getting these voices all the time. A lot of it's BS, and, you know, it's just meant to destroy you and deflate you and degrade you. He said, they tell me they are Illuminati or Freemasons or the Brotherhood or the CIA or NSA or U.S. Navy Intelligence or U.S. Army Intelligence or U.S. Air Force Intelligence or a particular corporation like Rockwell International or Lockheed Corporation or Northrop Grumman or Exxon. Probably each description contains some truth. I just think of them as the organization. Now, a number of other very, very intelligent, this guy's brilliant, by the way, a number of very intelligent TIs also refer to this group in these very same terms, the organization, the brotherhood, the enterprise, the agency. This is a criminal cabal that runs the world. Some call it the council. But all those terms, Illuminati, Freemason, brother, I think they're all partly true, and they're all true. But think of it as a group that operates like Smersh or Spectre in the old James Bond movies. This is a criminal group that is destroying the world. It wants to take all the resources and all the wealth and just, you know, enslave or kill everybody else. I mean, this is what we're at. And this is the technology that they've been developing since, well, here we show it going back to 1959. I'll shut up and let you say something there if you'd like.
No, this is very good. I'll just jump in occasionally. It's quite a narrative. You'll not hear this on any other program. Nothing like this.
Okay, well, let me give you a little coinkydink here. It's not a coinkydink at all, of course, because in 1959, the same year in which poor old Glennie Nichols got implanted for his first one at the age of 12, CIA MKUltra sub-project 119 was started, went from 59 to 65. Principal investigator was Dr. Saul B. Sells. What tribe do you suspect he might be from with a name like Saul?
I wouldn't have a clue.
Okay, so the name of the project, the Interpretive Survey of Work Being Done in Psychophysiological Research and Instrumentation. The five goals of the project were bioelectric sensors. Okay, they're putting sensors in you. It's a bioelectric sensor. That's the implant. That's the stemocyber. Sources of significant electrical potential and methods of pickup. Okay, that's one thing they're studying. Second, recording, amplification, electronic tape, and other multi-channel recording. Okay, now how do you record these signals? Analysis, using autocorrelators, spectrum analyzers, etc. Now, this goes back to the work of Norbert Wiener. He invented the autocorrelator in 1955, so they're getting right down to it. And what you're dealing with here is a subculture of Jewish brilliant sub-scientists who really seem to be on board with enslaving people. Autocorrelators, spectrum analyzers, and coordination with automatic data processing equipment.
Eric, everything international Zionism does by way of controlling this country, its finances, its culture, its government, its education, is absolutely driven toward abject control of everything. That's what they do. You just said it. You're right.
Yeah, but this is on a level which is totally biological, and not only biological, but mental. And, of course, with Elon's Neuralink, they're closing in on turning us into zombies, you know. But they've been working on this for a long time, and that's what we're kind of going through here. So the five goals, bioelectric sensors, recording, amplification, autocorrelators, spectrum analyzers, and then D, standardization of data for correlation with biochemical, physiological, and behavioral indices. And E, this is my favorite, techniques of activation of the human organism by remote electronic means. That's what it is. This is it's remote controlled humans. And they had it going in 1959, and they've had, what is it now, 65 years?
65.
Yeah, 65 years, 66
and
years.
How much progress have they made in 65 years? Leave the technology aside for just a moment. The hardware, which is the idea, their thinking is so damn black and evil now, and they've got the tech to implement any of it. That's what they're doing. And when you stare at that screen for 5 hours a day, not you people necessarily, there's much more coming into your mind than just image and sound. Much more. Don't forget it.
Well, that's a good point. But don't you think this is quite remarkable to have these parallel...
I don't know what you're quoting from. Did you write that, put it together, whatever? It's great. It's fascinating.
No, actually, this is okay, so I am lifting some of this from Walter Boart's Operation Mind Control Researchers Edition. He himself was quite a good writer, an excellent writer. He actually edited the kind of one of the first alternative rags back east, but then he more or less devoted his life to this issue, and I think we all owe him a huge debt of gratitude.
Well, I remember.
And then I am taking some of this from other sources as well. You know, like The Minds of Men by Aaron and Melissa Dykes, excellent film, 3 hours and 42 minutes, came out in 2017.
She's a tack, that girl. That woman is smart. Well, they're both good, but she is especially, I think, gifted at communication, observation, and anyway, go ahead.
These are major contributions, and of course, for the benefit of your audience, you know, I mean, obviously the message should come through here, I hope, like a sledgehammer. Stay away from Neuralink, you know, try to stay a free-range human. But the technologies are very, very far advanced, and I think, you know, our first line of defense is to understand them a little bit, and that's why I think that there's some value in this timeline. We get to see... you know, how we got to this point. And so much of this was going on while, you know, I was busy with my career as a physical geography professor. I wasn't paying attention to this stuff because I was maxed out, you know, and I think most people are maxed out. And that's perhaps part of the strategy.
Did you remember I had Walter on the program once? I could only get him one time. And it wasn't too long before he died, I don't think. But that man had a presence about him that you don't forget. He was very, very smart. You got it.
He was very smart. I've looked at some of his interviews, which you can look at online. In fact, I've transcribed portions of them for my websites. He's a national treasure because this stuff has been so top secret, and it still is. You know, it's so like, you know, for some reason, DARPA and ARPA and all these Defense Department agencies, which have you know, developed these technologies over the last 70 years, have gifted this now to this Jewish billionaire named Elon Musk. And, you know, he himself comes from a very, very occult background. I don't know why they keep giving extraordinary technologies to these Jewish billionaires, but they do. And now, of course, we've got Larry Ellison and Sam Altman and Peter Thiel and Eric Schmidt.
Well, here's another weird
Alex
thing
Karp,
about
all
Musk.
These Jewish billionaires about, and Donald Trump, who's another, I believe, running our country. So it's not boding well for those of us who wish to remain free-range humans.
You want to know about arrogance? Check into Elon Musk's fatherhood profile. Not all of you know this. He's had, I think, it's either 12 or 14 children by X number of different women. And I'm told, I can't prove this, AI is involved with a lot of them. I don't know.
Well, you know, he's
I'm not AI, but artificial insemination AI. Okay.
Oh, that kind of, AS, I guess. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I think if you look at his occult background, you'll find that it's very, very creepy. His mother is a witch Satanist, and his grandfather was, I think, one of the founders of this technocracy movement in Canada, back in the 50s. So that all parallels this. So you're dealing with, well, he's autistic as well. I mean, I don't know the guy, but and what he's done is radical overreach in terms of his DOGE committee work. I mean, he's not authorized to shut down entire, government agencies.
He just took off and ran.
He's entitled to audit them, but he's not entitled to shut them down, you know.
He is not going to be stopped. He won't be headed, as they say. He's loose. He's been turned loose by them because they're running everything. They can do what they want. And this is, he's painting himself out to be a hero of American ethics. And what's going on here, believe me, there's much more to it than what you see. These aren't just simple budget-saving issues. There's a lot here psychologically with this man. He's a very strange character. Go ahead, please. He's weird.
Well, but look what he's got under his thumb. He's got SpaceX. He wants to put 40,000 or 50,000 low Earth orbit satellites. And of course, those link up with the Neuralink. And so now you communicate back and forth between the satellites
There's so much going on here.
He's got OpenAI, and he's got another AI firm. Okay, so he's all into computers.
He doesn't have OpenAI. He doesn't have, no, that's Sam Altman's. Altman and Musk used to work together. They had a terrible falling out. It's still extant today. And OpenAI is not Musk's. He tried to put in a bid of $94 billion, and the board of directors of OpenAI turned it down. This is about a month ago.
He's got another one called XAI or something like that. So he's in the AI game. But the point is here, Jeff, that if you go to the really, really smart TIs who have suffered as guinea pigs for this system since, well, the 50s and perhaps earlier, like Dr. Ronnie Kilda, who I was lucky enough to run into as soon as I realized that I was a TI, targeted individual. She says, and she's former head of the Finnish chief medical officer for Finland, and she had multiple degrees in medicine. She was working, military medical conferences, talking about mind control as a non-lethal weapon. And the components of this system are implants, satellites, supercomputers, and then people running it. So this is how you turn a human being into a bio-robot slave or a cyborg. So my point in this timeline, in this tonight, is Elon Musk could enslave the world by himself. With the gear or the companies that he's got the satellites, he's got the Neuralink, he's got the chips, he's got all the technology to mind control and biorobotized slaves, cyborgized, if you will, humanity. Now, that's a little too much power for one guy who's autistic and whose mother is a Satanist and whose father was a technocrat and her grandfather was a technocrat. I'm pretty suspicious of this guy, Elon Musk. So this is, I think, a very, very important topic. So let's go across the sea and go over to Sweden and run into another TI, another extremely brilliant, brave soul named Robert Naslund, who has written a lot about his particular plight. They put you through hell if you think you're going to be having fun with these chips. I don't believe it. Robert Naslund records what happened in his life. He was not a slave from birth. He was not a TI from birth. They got him into a hospital in 1967, the Soder Hospital in Sweden, and he was secretly and involuntarily implanted with an object in his skull, directly anterior to the frontal lobe, while he was awaiting for some other
object. 1967, did you say, Eric?
1967. Yeah,
67,
right.
All right.
67, yeah. I'm just graduating from high school, if that makes any difference to anybody. So anyway, I was around, I was watching, but I had no idea this was going on. The X-rays that he's had more recently show transmitters in his nasal passages and air in the area behind his forehead. These were surgically removed at private hospitals overseas. In 1978, again, I did write this stuff. In 1978, another device was implanted while he was in police custody. A third object on the X-ray was the first transmitter that the police put in me on March 10th, 1972. Okay, there's another date, 67, 72, for another transmitter. While a fourth was implanted either at Stockholm's detention center or in custody in Mysterious in 1973. The last transmitter shown in the X-ray was inserted under sedation on November 26, 1975 at the Naka Police Custody Center. Okay, so here's what he says, Naslund. The transmitter that had been implanted in my head at Soder Hospital was finally removed on March 13, 1978, after having been in operation for 11 long years. It had been only a month since Dr. Bergstrom's report denied the existence of any foreign objects in my head. My life improved measurably after the removal of four transmitters, which had been transmitting electromagnetic waves through my brain. Then he says, it has been proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that psychiatry is used as a weapon against me, and of course the rest of us, to conceal the brutality of the state. His article was When the State Rapes. Brutality of the state in its implantation of transmitters in my head, and my subsequent exploitation in a continual, perpetual scientific experiment. With the help of several electronics companies in Stockholm, which supplied me with both the means and the know-how, I was able to ascertain the frequencies of the electromagnetic waves, which were traveling through my head to these transmitters. The frequencies entered my head have been analyzed to be between 17 and 24 kilohertz. About 20 years ago, 1976, researchers Eskil Brock and Per Sjöström, published their book, Man and Technology in the Society of the Future. The book, in 1976, addresses the following technique. The study of electronic communication has given us a much greater opportunity to understand vital aspects of the human nervous system and sensory organs. Out of this technology, then grew a more abstract.
Hope we can get him back. I was worried about that. We got most all of it out. That was a lot of material. Fascinating. Try and get him back. By the way, for all of you living in the center of the country right now, many, many reports. In fact, on the internet right now, live, there are tornadoes all over the place.
Okay.
Tremendous lightning storms. This is some manipulated weather. Again, racing down through the middle of the country. All right, I just wanted to fill in while we got you back. Go ahead.
Yeah, weather warfare. You know, that's, we can do a whole show on that. I've got several PowerPoints about that. We wake up when we wake up. I woke up to that about, in the early 2000s. But anyway, going back to this 1976 report, on the study of electronic communication. Out of this technology grew a more abstract and general science, cybernetics, okay? The study of communication and control. Advancements in science and technology show us again and again that we must be prepared to adjust our view of the world and reassess the limits of what is possible. Okay, so Naisland has done a great job,
what is possible.
Of course,
The limits of what is possible. We'd have a heck of a tough time describing what those limits might be, I think, if you're open-minded and understand the rapidity. And now with AI helping to create anything it's asked to help create, what obstacles are there to most anything you can imagine? Go ahead.
Well, that's it. That's it. And we've talked about all these things, you know, Jeff, over the last couple, 3 years. But now it's starting to really come together in my mind. I mean, this is really complicated stuff. We have the weaponization of these frequencies, you know, with cognitive warfare. It is coming out in the last several years, the sixth warfare domain, using all these technologies, by the way, you know, not only against foreign enemies, but against domestic enemies, so-called terrorists. And Mind War, the paper by Colonel Aquino, the Satanist, the Temple of Set guy, which is really a description
Is he dead now? Do we know?
Yes, he has died, yeah.
I thought he did, okay.
You know where he is. I bet you he's pretty warm. Very, very evil guy who was very, unfortunately, influential in the Department of Defense. With his Satanism, and he was also, of course, brought up on pedophilia charges when he was working at the Presidio, which is a army institution in San Francisco. So the upshot of all of this study that I have done in my retirement, and of course I had a pretty good glimpse of this before, was that the war against the commies back in the 50s turned into the war against the American people. And it was the cryptocracy that working above the law and out of sight with their top secret America national security state that has been doing this and using us as lab rats and using us as cannon fodder, again, to protect, I guess, the interests of some elite that they consider to be, that they're working for. And what I have also come to is that although the CIA has studied cults as a way of modifying people's behavior, one more way to do it, Jolly and West studied that a lot, that you could change people with cults, and how you could do that, especially destructive cults. But what I've come to is that the CIA and the military themselves are perhaps amongst the most destructive of all cults ever. One of the things they used the cults for was to provide them with abused, traumatized, dissociated children that they could go ahead and program with these, ritual abuse, military abduction things. And again, as we mentioned earlier, the military and the CIA were providing their own children. Now, that's the definition of a destructive cult. So,
that's not human. You don't give up your children to something like that. If you're human, you don't do that.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah.
Like, but, 18, but anyway, here are my two kids. Take them. Go ahead. Destroy
them.
Yeah,
what is that? I mean, but this is the story that so many of these people tell. We can suss it out a little bit. The parents who abuse their children.
We have just about, Eric, we only have about a minute or two at the max. That's it.
Yeah, the parents who abuse their children were themselves abused. I mean, I think that this is probably the formula. It's a generational thing. And, of course, the Illuminati, the Bavarian Illuminati probably inspired this, probably had this in their bag of tricks, was to weaponize their own children for their own ends, And, of course, when you see, the rampant pedophilia in the British, MI6 and in the British culture and now in American culture, this is how you dissociate children. So it's a way to destroy a child. So it's much more than just a sick sexual preference. It is a power trip of the nth degree. And then, of course, the CIA and the military would actually pay the parents to then rent or buy these children. So this is the subterranean, underground underbelly of the American culture, which I think Americans better know about and try to address, because otherwise we don't have a future at all. We can't tolerate this.
No, I honestly don't. These things don't augur well for our future, as we are no longer the number one intelligent life form on the planet, AI is. And I think when we realize that and accept it, we might have a better chance of understanding what's being done to us. It's not good. Not good at all. Anyway, thank you. That was an extraordinary accounting. Let's do it again next week. What do you say?
That sounds good, Jeff. Thanks so much for hanging in, and you have a good evening. And again, thanks for your efforts. You're one of a very few people who's willing to stick their neck out and talk about this. So let's please applaud Jeff's efforts. Thank you.
Well, thanks.
Good night.
See you next Wednesday. Okay, Eric. Good night. Okay, that's it. And that was quite a dose. And it's all true. At this point, I think we are number two on the planet. I know some would say, nah, the programmers can still control AI. I personally don't think so. I have no indication that they can. Did they cut a deal with AI? Don't laugh. Don't know. We have to take this seriously. We have to prepare all across the front. And by the way, next hour, Stefan Verstappen is here, and Stefan is talk about preparing. Well, we'll get into that next, so stay right there. One more to go on preparing coming up next.